There's nothing quite as disappointing as getting a broken present. You've got a box with beautiful wrapping paper, maybe even a bow, and you rip off the paper and you're excited. Kids, are there any kids here today? I think that, has anyone been excited already today by doing that? I can see that. Yes. One child in our house today screamed out, "It's a gift card!" I did not expect that. It's just like that, is it a super cheap auto ad? Yeah. I won't tell you, sorry. I won't tell you what time that occurred this morning in our house. But you go through that. Even as adults, we do have that anticipation, don't we? That excitement. And you're overjoyed when it's just the thing. It's a gift card that you've been waiting for. But then you're so disappointed when you can't get it to work. We had this a few years back. We bought for one of our children a toy phone. The idea we had was pretty good. This particular child kept wanting to grab our phone and they wanted to suck and drool all over it. And so we thought, hey, if we give them a toy phone, then they'd play with that instead. It was a good theory, wasn't it? Didn't work that way. Not only did it just not work full stop, but unfortunately on Christmas Day, the toy was unwrapped, new batteries got put in, but no luck. There was no flashing lights and no blaring sounds. Now, adults, you might have thought that was a gift to us, but, you know, it didn't work. And so on Boxing Days, while other families were fighting their way to the bargains, we joined the long line of distraught parents and disappointed children at the returns desk. I didn't realise how many people would be at the returns desk on Boxing Day, but it is a very long line of people. Well, today we've been singing songs about Jesus. We've heard the story of the night Jesus was born. We've heard the words the angels said, and on earth peace. And you might be asking the question, is Jesus the gift that needs to be returned? Is Jesus a present who doesn't work as promised? Because where's the peace on earth? Over the last few weeks, we've been hearing lots about Syria and Aleppo. And this week, there were the events in Berlin and Turkey. And then there's all those things we've been just hearing whispers and rumours about what's happening in the South China Sea. It's got us worried. Where's the peace on earth? But it's not just international conflict and terrorism. With politics at the moment, we just can't get along. It's been months since the American election, and both the winner and the loser made optimistic speeches about uniting and getting over the vitriol of the campaign. But the sense I get is that if anything, the anger and divisions are deeper. And it seems to me that some politicians and media commentators here in Australia, they are banking on the same disunity happening here. Then maybe they're even trying to amplify it. But it's not just out there. But we all have personal or family conflict. Maybe you're anxious about Christmas lunch, or you're sad because of someone who refuses to be there. Where's the peace on earth? Is Jesus a faulty gift? Well, let's get back to the Bible. That's what we're here to do today, to look at Luke's biography of Jesus and have a listen to what he said. Many of us will be pretty familiar with the events surrounding Jesus' birth. In the first Bible reading, the one that Pat brought us at the beginning, we heard the amazing news of Mary, an otherwise unspectacular young lady living in an unremarkable small town in Judea. But an angel visits her. An angel visits her with a message. The message is, even though she's a virgin, she's going to become pregnant. And her miraculous baby will be the long-awaited promised Messiah. And then we picked up the story 9 months later, when this pregnant woman travelled to Bethlehem and she gave birth to the child king. And this moment, which changes our world, goes basically unnoticed. The people Mary and Joseph are staying with, they don't even want to give them the dignity of a proper guest room. And instead she gives birth with the animals. The king of the world, the promised descendant of King David, is born in the most humiliating circumstances. Jesus spent his first night with the animals. There are also some other people who are spending the night with animals. But they don't miss out on what happens. The shepherds who were doing the night shift outside of Jerusalem, they were like Mary 9 months earlier. They're just minding their own business when suddenly an angel appears. And just like with Mary, the angel tells the shepherds not to be afraid. But he tells them that he has good news. Have a listen again to what the angel says. It's there in your bulletins there. It's about the third paragraph down. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This would have been terrifying. Bright lights in the middle of the night, and this is before electricity. And an angel. Now, we often picture angels as cute cherubs or little fairies. You might have one hanging on your Christmas tree. But that's not how the Bible describes angels. Angels are messengers and soldiers. Even these shepherds, who I'm sure were tough blokes, they're right to be afraid. But the message the angel brings tells the soldiers that they aren't in danger. There's a soldier, but they're not in danger. In fact, the opposite. The angel has come to announce a saviour, a rescuer, has been born for them. Today in Bethlehem, the town of David, a saviour has been born for you. That's an interesting message, isn't it? I wonder what the shepherds need to be saved from. Anyway, they don't have time to discuss that, because the next thing they know, hundreds of angels join the first one, a host of angels. Now, when a group of angels, this group of angels is called a host, it means army. There are now hundreds of heavenly soldiers bearing down on the shepherds. But ironically, this army hasn't come from heaven to conquer, but to proclaim peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. That's their song. What's this song about? Well, in the first line, the angels praise God. God, the one who is in heaven, ruling over all creation, they're praising him because of a little boy who's been born. They're praising him even though no one's taking much notice of what's happening in that manger. And the second line says that peace is going to come on earth. They say this little baby is going to bring peace to the whole world. That's a big promise. It's a big promise to say that a little baby is going to bring peace to the world. But that's the gift the angels say has been given by God. But the problem we feel is the gift seems faulty. It looks broken. The promise of the angels' song is peace on earth. It's something we sing ourselves in so many Christmas songs. We sang it before. Hark, which means listen up. The herald angels are singing, so listen up. What are they going to say? Peace on earth and mercy mild. But you've got to be kidding. There is no peace on earth. Well, maybe we need to listen just a little bit more carefully to what the angels said. Because after they promise peace on earth, they seem to put a limit on the promise. They don't say peace on earth full stop. They say peace on earth to those on whom God's favour rests. So maybe that's the reason. The problem isn't with the gift, it's with the recipients. Maybe the reason there's no peace is that we're not good enough. We're getting the lump of coal in our stocking just as we deserve. Because what do we need to do to get God's favour? How do we get into his good books? Maybe we've got to be at church every Sunday or give lots of money to charity. Maybe it's about keeping the golden rule, do unto others. Or it's about following the Ten Commandments, or at least the ones we can remember. Maybe to get God's favour, The challenge we've got to master is getting through another Christmas lunch with that nasty relative. We read the end of this line, and many of us think, well, the problem can't be with the gift, it's with the recipient. Maybe Jesus is more than ready to give us peace on earth, but we haven't done what it takes to get God's favour. Because how would we know? Being in God's favour sounds like living in a to-do list. God's to-do list, which we can never tick off. And this doesn't sound like good news. The first angel said, it's in the third paragraph down, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. But this massive to-do list does not sound like good news. Maybe it is for some, for the very best of the good people, but not for you and me. And lots of us think that's how God works. We think God is like the man in the big red suit. If you're good, you'll get the toys. If you're bad, you get the coal. But that's not what God is like. And that's not what the words on whom his favour rests means. But it's the right question to ask. Asking this question gives us an idea about the kind of peace the angels were singing about. But before we get back to the peace, if we listen again to what the first angel said, we'll hear why the birth of Jesus is good news. Why it's good news even for people like you and me. Because it's astounding to say about a baby that a baby is a saviour. If anyone needs saving, it's a baby. A baby can't feed or protect itself. They need their parents to protect or save them. But this baby was to be the saviour. But a saviour from what danger? If you go down to the beach this summer and get caught in a rip, the saviour you need is a lifesaver. Someone who is strong enough to swim out to where you are and rescue you. What's the danger that this baby is here to save us from? Well, have a look at the bottom of the outline of your notices. I've got a few more sentences from another part of the Bible. They're from the book of the Romans. The second phrase that's highlighted in yellow, it tells us about the danger we need to be saved from. It tells us about the real state of our relationship with God. And the real state of our relationship with God is that we're enemies. It's a pretty graphic term to use, but that's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible sometimes calls sin. Sin isn't just being a little bit naughty. Sin's not just eating too much of Auntie's trifle. Sin is rebelling against God. It's telling God we want nothing to do with him. Our relationship with God, it's like our parents have put on the most amazing Christmas ever. There are more gifts than you can unwrap in a day. You can't even see the tree because of them. You feast on your favourite food and just play and laugh all day. But come Boxing Day morning, the kids have cleared off. In fact, they've cleared out the house, stolen everything during the night. All they've left behind is a cruel note saying the next time they speak, it'll be through the lawyers. There's no love. In fact, we're going to live as enemies. That's what the Bible says it's like between people and God. We are enemies of God, who is our loving creator. But even though we don't deserve it, what the angel said to the shepherds that night is good news. Because in Jesus, enemies can be at peace. Enemies can become friends. If you have a look at that first sentence below the outline, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the peace the angels were talking about. Peace with God. The end of conflict with God. And that's why the last bit of what the angels said makes sense on whom God's favour rests. That's another way of talking about those who have peace with God, who have no more conflict with God, who've been reconciled to God. But we still haven't completely solved the problem. How can enemies be reconciled? How can we be in favour with God? If I'm the one who's faulty, how can sinners have peace with God? Well, it's through Jesus. It's because of Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection. It's because Jesus is a saviour that's been born for us. A saviour who's come to rescue us from sin and reconcile us to God. If you have a look at that sentence which begins, while we were enemies, the one that's highlighted there in yellow, it talks about this. Have a listen. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Jesus was born to be a saviour. He lived the perfect, sinless life that we can never live. He is the only one who deserves the title, the one on whom God's favour rests. But he lived that life for us, and he died the death that we deserve to die so that we can be reconciled and have peace on earth with God. Today, this Christmas, that's the peace that God is offering to you and me and the whole world. This is the peace that the angels announced, and Jesus isn't a faulty gift. Jesus came so that you and I can have God's best gift, peace with him. And Jesus is perfectly able to give us that gift. During these holidays, there's actually two gifts that we at Gympie Presbyterian Church want to give to you. Two gifts that you might have received, one of them on your way in, but they're also available on your way out. One is a small pamphlet that says on the front, While Shepherds Wash Their Flocks. It's a very brief read, it's only a couple of pages, something you might be able to read this afternoon whilst the kids are going crazy and you're trying to block your brain from that. It's a brief read, it helps you understand a bit more about what the shepherds heard and saw that night. The second is a copy of Luke's biography of Jesus. We've read this morning a little bit from the introduction to that biography of Jesus. It's a pretty easy read. I reckon you could probably get through it in the boring bits of the cricket tomorrow. You can see what I think about cricket. Anyway, we'd love for you to receive these gifts because we want you to know the true gift of peace with God in Jesus. And let's pray. Father God, we join with the army of angels praising and glorifying you for Jesus. That on that night in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago, our Saviour was born. We praise you because that baby, the Lord Jesus, is our only hope for peace with you. In a world where there continues to be conflict, help us to find and know peace with you through the Messiah Jesus. Amen.